Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 391, Phases. I read a couple things from Buddha Groove. I go over some notes, you know, some events that are happening in my life, some moments with some clients, all that's going on in my life. And then the title, Phases, at one point in my life, I said, oh, that was a good phase. And then I started saying, well, here are the two good phases. And then I got to like three phases. And I kind of figured that I'm right now at the fourth phase where I look like everything is really good. And that's completely wonderful, positive. But it has also always stirred something. And it did it again. And I'm embracing it. And I'm moving forward to it, and I'm Googling, and I'm researching, and I'm taking a trip, and I'm just kind of going with that feeling that it's time to maybe relocate, Zen and I. So that's kind of a big thing. But just reflecting, I just wrote down this note, and I'm like, man, I write down notes all the time. I'm reflecting all the time, and as soon as I thought of it, then I talked to a client, and I talked to a friend, and then I researched, and all of a sudden I was like, wow, like, and to think about 2 or 3 years ago, I put out, it's the only thing I ever put out, like, into the universe. I'd like to get to a point one time where I had all online clients so I could live anywhere. Guess what happened? 2020. And I didn't even think about it. But I recorded this the first time. And I didn't record it. Press record. So I had to record it the second time. Fun, fun, fun. Chris Hardwick said, some are just for you. I started thinking. I go, didn't I put that out once? Like, I remember just the one thing that I was going to allow myself to go, okay, where I would like to head, end up. And it's not because I got a bunch of new online clients. It's like my clients that I saw physically in LA, I don't. I see online. I'm like, well, if I see them online, I can go anywhere. And the seed was planted. And the seed's growing. And there's, you know, there's just a little of that murmur in the background again that I haven't felt in a while. And, you know, it can be a little excitement, a little nerve, a little because of the unknown, you know. But then you have to go, oh, that's why I have that feeling. And that's okay. So I share my plans to pursue that, and just I'm enjoying the ride that 2021 is, and I hope you are as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, for being new. If you have any questions, comments, anything you'd like to share, please message me, holler at me, let me know. Or if you'd like to become a member of Team Dieter's online training, I'm on fire right now, and so are my clients. Enjoy. Hello, people. I'm going to read a couple things from the Buddha Groove website. Cultivating self-compassion. This past year, 2020, I shared with my clients a number of times that it was me becoming the cheerleader that I needed to be, which involved self-love. And I never really used those two words together. But I've never really used self-compassion either, but all kind of in the same genre. So this article grabbed my attention and decided to share because I care. In order to have compassion for others, we have to have compassion for ourselves. Many people turn to meditation and mindfulness practices to cultivate kindness and compassion in their lives. In doing so, most people focus on ways to be more kind in their interaction with others. Developing compassion for others is a worthwhile pursuit, and it is often easier to act compassionately towards our loved ones than towards ourselves. Without self-compassion, however, the depths of our compassion are inherently limited. The practice of self-compassion is the practice of treating yourself as you would a dear friend or family member. The word compassion derives from the Latin word compati, meaning suffer with. Cultivating compassion requires that we recognize suffering, acknowledge that everyone experiences suffering, and practice mindful awareness of our suffering. When we strive to practice self-compassion, the first step, recognizing our own suffering, is often the easiest. We know our own suffering intimately. So intimately, it can impede our ability to move on to the second step, recognizing the universality. I had trouble reading this the first time. Universality of suffering. It is, unfortunately, easy to convince ourselves of the uniqueness of our individual pain and imperfections. The key to this step is cultivating self-compassion, is to take a step back, focusing on the singularity of our own suffering in isolating, recognizing suffering as an inherent part of the human condition, can allow us to realize that we are not alone. This awareness can alleviate some of our sufferings and help us achieve the third step in cultivating self-compassion, mindful awareness of our suffering. When we suffer, it is common to exaggerate or suppress the negative emotions we are experiencing. Practicing mindfulness with regards to suffering means observing our feelings as they are, nothing more, nothing less. As a result, we can see our own flaws clearly and understand how they may contribute to our suffering. This allows us to gain perspective on our experience of suffering. Mistakes, flaws, and failures are inevitable in life. The practice of self-compassion acknowledges this with an open heart and helps to increase our emotional resiliency in the face of such inevitabilities. We tend to be our own worst critics, and as such, if we learn to be compassionate with ourselves, we can learn to cultivate compassion for anyone. Isn't that fantastic? Self-compassion, practice it, people. So there's a section where it says Zen story. I always click on it. And there was one saying wishful thinking. I went, oh, and had a really dope picture of kind of a foggy ocean shoreline with stones coming out. I'm like, this is all me. And I started reading it. I'm like, oh, I got to share this. And the second time I read it, I was like, I think, and now I completely know that I've shared this before. And I completely remember it. But I didn't the very first time I read it. And I still loved it. So here we go. Worth a second share. There once lived a stonecutter who was unhappy with his insignificant life. Passing by a rich merchant's home one day, he was awed by his grandeur and the stream of visitors going in. He must be a powerful man. How I wish I could be him, he thought. Astonishingly, he found himself transformed into the merchant. Surrounded, though he was, by unimaginable riches, he also found himself the object of hate and envy by those less privileged than him. Just then, an important official passed, carried by attendants in a grand procession. Oh, how powerful that gent looks. Wish I could be him. His wish came true, and he found himself riding high. All around people watched him go past with expressions of fear and hate. The richly embroidered chair suddenly felt sticky thanks to the sun beating down. Looking skywards, he thought, how powerful the sun shines. I wish. No sooner did the thought bloom than he became the sun, burning fiercely from the sky and cursed by peasants and farm laborers. Then an enormous dark cloud blocked the sun. No prizes for guessing the man's thoughts. He became the cloud which bursts forth with rain, causing floods and misery. Shortly he felt an irresistible force pushing him. It was the wind. How powerful it was. No sooner did he wish than he became the gusty wind, wreaking havoc with rooftops, uprooting tree trunks, spreading fear and panic. Sometime later he found himself coming up against an object that was immovable. No matter how forcefully he blew it, it was a towering rock. Oh, to be that rock, thought he. And indeed, he became the rock, hard and invincible. After a while, he heard the pounding of a hammer on a chisel. He was being changed, but how? Who could possibly challenge his power? Looking down, he saw a small figure at the bottom. It was a stone cutter. Dun, 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 dun. Isn't that fantastic? Definitely worth a second share. So, I was chatting with a good friend, wonderful client, named Dan. And he brought to my attention three words. Quote. I'm like, that's kind of dope. You can get a quote in three words. Discipline cultivates freedom. And he had been kind of honing in that word freedom. Like that was kind of his like tag word. Like I'm starting to experience, you know, more quiet between my ears, more downtime. Just like, and he goes, but it's because I'm getting the things that I need to get done. I'm getting them done. And he goes, I think it was listening to your podcast and it was a guest. And one of the guests said, discipline cultivates freedom. And it sounds kind of contradictory because you think of discipline and you think of freedom as kind of, you know, polar opposites. But to do the discipline, the fruits of that labor is that freedom. But I just, it was so cool because he was kind of, you know, I say it all the time, pro you path, your path, your path, completely unique, just like your fingerprint. So when you find stories or words or quotes or whatever that resonate with you, and then you kind of start compiling that pro-you toolbox. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to experience when it's your client. You can see, but, you know, this dude's like just like the butterfly out of the cocoon flying. Look at these kick-ass wings I have. But I had a client, and 8-9 years, and he's like, you know, I just, you know, since we started, it's like I just got to, you know, be more disciplined. And I thought, what a great quote to share with him. So I was able to take that quote and share it with him. And I thought, wow, that's just fantastic. Three words, write it down. Discipline cultivates freedom. Discipline, the things you need to do to become the better you, little things done consistently, cultivates freedom, the fruits of your labor. You being a better you will never look back and go, oh, I should be like that again. And my good buddy Dan said, it's too good to stop. I went, all right, that's two fantastic quotes, seven words, too good to stop. And I, you know, resonated with when I say, you know, when you climb the pro you tree, and you gain that clarity, that perspective of being higher up in the tree, you'll never climb back down. You know, you can see more, understand more, grasp more, your distance from how you feel or what's going on. And here's a guy on his pro-you path. And just like an artist now, he's just painting and just doing it his way. And he just, and I see his the fruits of his labor. But you know, these things, like he's coming up with his own verbiage, his own keywords, tag words, his own little, you know, moments that he goes through that he's like, you know, I'm going to remember that forever. So I love that. Thank you, Dan, for participating in my pro you path. So I mentioned a bunch of times, like, I don't really have days anymore. They're all kind of blurred together. I love that. I, you know, I'm not really concerned about what day it is. It doesn't really matter to me at all. I'm just trying to gather moments. And I had a super dope moment. Mr. Scotty Mosier and his best gal rescued a Australian shepherd that they named Norman about a month or so ago, and he's about 5 months old now, and we were just waiting to get a time when we could hook up at the beach and meet, and Scott and I and Zen and Norman kicked it at the beach, and it was fantastic. It was just like the best. We had to kind of move a couple times, and I knew the tide would be high because I don't go that early in the morning. But that's when Scott, you know, goes on his walks and takes Norman. So I'm like, that's cool. We'll just go with you and hang out after or whatever. And so we got there and had to move a couple times. We finally found this spot of beach that, you know, there's definitely enough sand for us to kick it and hang out. And there was just two dudes, two dogs hanging out on this beach early in the morning. And I was just like, what a great moment. And, you know, a 5-month-old puppy is just super adorable and cute and puppy-like. And then running with Zen, and they're both, you know, really good-looking dogs, and they're in the water. You know, it's just awesome all the way up until I whacked Norman in the head with a stick. Now, I've done it to Zen a couple times, which does not make the story any better, but there's like, you just kind of wind up, you go back, and, you know, Zen and Norman were going back and forth, and Scott was throwing this little stick, and then I got a bigger stick to kind of throw for Zen, and so I would throw out in the water, and Zen would run and go get it, and Norman would chase along, and it was super cool, and they did it like 3 times in a row, and I don't know, you know, Norman ended up behind me, and the same thing, I'm guessing, kind of happened is as I was going through, like, the follow through, Zen would jump up to, like, to try to grab it or something, and bonk, and you know, you feel the vibration through the stick, and I know I hit him in the head, and then he starts yelping, and I'm like, okay, worst moment ever for an empath that loves dogs and couldn't wait to meet this puppy. And I whack it in the head with a big stick. And I didn't go coddle him right away because I, you know, want to give some room for Scott. So Scott went over there, and there was no blood, and it wasn't, you know, it was just a thump on the head, and he got scared, and he was totally fine. And next thing you know, they were playing again, and it was all okay. But in that moment, it was just that, you know, life, man. Like, there it was. I'm in this great place. I'm the best I've ever been. Here's this perfect puppy moment with Mosier and his dog at the beach. And look at Tom did. Way to go, Tom. You know, Scott had this little, you know, 10-inch little twig he was throwing. And I was like, well, let me get this 4-foot log and I'll throw it for Zen. But I digress. Didn't really wreck anything because we hung out after, and, you know, we walked back and hung out at the car. We had a great chat, and, you know, so it was pretty much all forgotten. Because, again, you know, Norman was totally fine. But it was definitely, definitely, definitely a very, you know, cool moment. Because I, you know, I was understood it was over, it was done, just that, you know, I would never want to do that ever, 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 ever. But especially Mosier's brand new puppy, especially a puppy, especially the first time I meet it. So I was also talking to my good friend, client, Dan, about his workouts. And he was talking about how good he feels. And it was, you know, kind of contradictory because in the past he had to do kind of ABC and didn't feel that good mentally or physically. Now feels great mentally, feels great physically, and doesn't really care what he does. And I'm like, that's kind of it. Because I didn't work out for literally just about 2 months. You know, and I've gone through those, you know, once or twice before where I kind of took those breaks. And, you know, none of these things are planned. But I was getting up and I was running, and I always feel grateful because I hated running my entire life, and I didn't really start running until I, you know, after I was 50. And now, you know, I'm running like, you know, six times a week. And you know, just to do that, because there was, you know, a long time where I would, you know, I would run a couple times, I couldn't. I'd run for a couple weeks, I wouldn't run for a couple weeks. I'd run for a month, I'd take out, you know. So it was just not a straight line at all. So when I got to the point, and I knew, well, my alignment's getting better, you know, my calves are stretching, okay, I could just tell that my body was better, because I would do about the same run and come home and be fine. And I don't run that far. But it's just the ability. I mean, if you can run 6 blocks, you could probably run, you know, 2 miles. You know, it's just, it's relative. But if you can't run 6 blocks, then, you know what I mean, you're not going to be able to run any further if that thing is tight or that thing is tweaked until you fix that. And if you're older, it's probably harder to undo and, you know, untweak. And I feel thankful because, you know, my gait, my step, all that stuff has changed. And, you know, I just know that's physically really, really hard to do, how you walk. You know, I used to have kind of the toes pointed out, kind of duck feet as a kid. I remember even being made fun of one day by this kid going, look at your feet, they point out, why do you walk that way? And I was like, it's just how they put one foot in front of the other, that's how they look. But now when I walk, it's significantly different. You know, and again, that's a lot of time, a lot of foam rolling, and a lot of not doing what I wanted to do. You know, I wasn't expressing my physicality. I was, you know, mending, you know, damage control. You know, why is this uncomfortable? Can I change that? You know, trying to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And again, you know, almost 56, and I'm able to kind of, you know, do that. So in the big picture, I am the best I've ever been. And I'm like, I run, and I feel good, and then I foam roll. So 90% of the time, I feel really good. But, yeah, right now, I'm not working out. And it's so much easier to say I'm not working out when I look fine. You know, I'm not gaining muscle. I'm not gaining size, but I'm not trying to. But I'm just real peaceful with it. And again, I mean, that's kind of part of it. Like, oh, you don't get 2K. What am I going to do? Call a bunch of people? You know, whine about it? I haven't worked out in 3 days. I haven't worked out in 4 days. I haven't worked out in 5. What's the point? Wasted time and energy. Wasting time and energy. So this past week, I did a workout. Felt fine. Next day, felt fine. Following day, 2 days later, did another workout, and I was like, okay, how are you gonna feel? You know, you haven't done 2 workouts, you know, 2 days apart in 2 months. And I woke up the next morning and I went for that run, and that was like one of the best feelings in the world. And this is what Dan and I were kind of talking about. Like, I was just like, oh, like I did this workout, I woke up, nothing's tweaked, nothing's like uncomfortable. I just ran. I mean, that's all. I'm like, that's all I want. And it was funny how when stuff is taken away, you're like, okay, that's, you know, I have 25-pound dumbbells, and I haven't touched ever. I rarely touch the 20s. And in the last, you know, 2-3 months, I haven't touched the 15s. You know, I was just starting to do bands. I was just starting to do other things. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Then I had a kettlebell, and I stopped using the kettlebell. Because, like, this spot between my chest and my shoulders is just always kind of tender and sore. And I'm like, I'm not even doing anything. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. And that was it. I go, I'm just going to stop that feeling. If I stop doing everything, I bet that feeling goes away. And it did. I'm like, I'll come back slowly. However, I got to discover this new path. I just want to avoid that pain and discomfort. What is that? It's pro you. It's exactly what pro you is. It's not always the easiest. It's not always familiar. It's rarely comfortable. Always the best for you. So again, when I look back going, okay, that year is comfortable, or undoing that, or redoing, doesn't matter. I'm going to turn 56 and everything's better. Now, am I bigger and stronger, way more faster? No, but everything is better. Those things are just, you know, yeah, when I was younger, I was bigger, faster, stronger. And now I don't need to be. You know, you're balancing a stone, you know. I mean, sometimes I pick up big stones, but for the most part, I don't got to do a whole lot. So, I was highly aware that I opened up myself during the documentary. Like, as soon as it transcended from, oh, I'm doing this film for this art event, to, this is an opportunity to do a documentary, which I've always wanted to have done of my life. It was ever in a place of having value to be. And I just felt it would. I'm like, oh, this is so dope. I'm just pumped. But I knew it was going to be talking about Zen and Kyosa, my first dog, and my dad. And, you know, I just knew it was, because how I got here is what I got through. So, you know, you let that stuff in, and it was like a couple days later, and I was talking to a client, and all of a sudden I kind of brought up the story about my dad, and I just got all kind of teary-eyed, and this emotion just was so clear. Like, there was sadness for the little boy in the story, and then there was anger for that father. And I just felt it. It was like 2 days later, and I was telling the story again, and I was like, why am I talking about him? Why am I sharing the story again? Because it really didn't have to do a whole lot with what my client and I were talking about. And I'm like, see, that there it was. It's like residual. Like, I let that in, felt a little bit of the kryptonite, shared kind of what I went through dealing with him, and, you know, it kind of hung out. And then all of a sudden, I just shared this story, and I know I've shared it before. When I told it this time, that's what I just felt. I felt like I was watching it. I wasn't the little boy, and the dude wasn't my dad. I was just watching it. I was a father and a son. And the little boy, I was eating dinner, last one at the table. Food left on his plate. No milk in the glass. Food's dry, meat's dry, roast beef's dry. So mom was cooking. So the boy couldn't swallow. Asked for something more to drink. Father takes off his wristwatch, places it next to the plate, says, when that hand gets to that number. I didn't even have to finish the sentence. And the boy knew what that meant. And I thought, wow, how jacked. Food's dry, not the boy's fault. He's not trying to not chew it. He just can't because it's dry. Wants something to wash it down. And you're going to go, no. You're not getting anything more to drink. You're going to eat that dry food. And now I'm going to put you on a time clock. And you know what's happening if you don't. So now you have fear. You have panic. It's like, what did he do? What's he doing wrong? He's not finishing his food because it's dry and he doesn't have anything to drink. That's what you're going to make him feel like that. Make him that afraid in that moment. Why? How's he outside of that? Good kid, listens, doesn't talk back, good in school, yep, all that. Just a wonderful kid all around. But in this moment, right here, all it was about that dad. And that's when I got angry. Like, if I watched that, I mean, I'm just going to say it, I really wouldn't do it. But I'd take that watch and I'd slap it across that father's face. It just made me so angry. And then, you know, I got emotional when I shared it, because then I started thinking, how jacked, like, that kid had to get through that. You know, like, not even doing anything wrong. Can't swallow, throat's dry. All right, I'm going to punish you. Huh? Well, you're going to punish, yeah, I'm going to threaten you. You're going to threaten me and punish me because the food's dry and I can't swallow it. I mean, you get how that would fuck up a kid? And see, it's just so apparent. Like, how I think about that guy now. You know, I don't think about that child as me. Because I'm not. And I don't think of that dude as, like, my dad. You know what I mean? He's, like, just a dude. And I'm just watching that story. I'm like, oh, feel bad for the little dude. But I know the story. It ends well. Hang in there, little guy. The dad, I'm like, yeah. Just like my last email, last words, last communication. I said, enjoy being you. I know what his head's like. I know exactly what his head's like in between his ears. So, you know, that's just part of it. Like, I didn't bum out when I wasn't tripping. I wasn't whatever. It's like, oh, I understand why I felt that. No, I'm going to share that story on the podcast. And, you know, that stuff comes up. But, you know, I recognize how differently it felt. Telling a story. Time, man. If you're deeming yourself worthy, if you're doing the things that you need to do, which requires a little selfishness to be the best you are. If you're that way and you keep doing it a year later, you're going to be a little bit better at everything. See everything just a little bit clearer. Everything that doesn't really matter is going to be a little bit more distanced. And, you know, the stuff that really doesn't matter is going to matter less. Stuff that really matters is going to matter more. So you get more focused, which means you block out a whole lot more. And the longer that's blocked out, the less it really means. You know, and again, time, then it's just distance. And it's like, oh, yeah, that guy, yeah. Oh, yeah, I got it. Oh, that story, yep. And really, I just think about, you know, and I'm like, dude, you did it, little boy, little Tommy. Hey, you got here. You did it. You know, now you're, you know, sharing your story on a podcast and you have a completely, you know, attainable goal for people. Here's the beginning, here's the middle, here's the end. This guy's way better than he's ever been. Here's how he did it. He's not saying do what he did, but he's, you know, sharing stories and examples or whatever he can. So you'll find value in yourself and you'll deem yourself worthy to do those things, make those choices, kick people out if you have to. Do what you need to do to become stronger, become better on your own as you, the best you that you are. And there is no bad. And there's just a ton of fruit waiting for any of that labor. And it's just kind of cool when you're giving at the job or giving to family or spouse or whatever it is. And then you just one day stop, pause, reflect, and you give to yourself. You're like, wow, that's different. Like immediately, like, wow, when I give to me, that's dope. Like, I like that. You know, I've been, you know, deeming myself worthy for a little while, and I've never felt like this. Like the quiet in my head is like really something I'm enjoying, and I'm thinking that's the best thing I've ever felt ever. And what if I keep doing this? Will I keep getting what I'm getting? And of course you will. So again, that's where Dan said, you know, it's just too good to stop. It's too good to stop. So one of the bucket list things was doing the documentary, and all fired up because it was documentary was shot. It's done, and it was fantastic. All on a hard drive, and brought it to a good friend to edit it. And I'm like, okay, you know, like totally out of my control. It'll get edited, and then it's done. And I look at it, and I'm like, all right, you know. And the editor, really good friend, old client of mine, quit editing because of the pain and discomfort it causes to her neck and shoulders. And when I dropped it off, she reminded, or she told me that. I'm like, I didn't know it was that bad. And, you know, I said, well, why did you have me come over? And she goes, no, I just, you know, once in a while I'll find something I'm fired up on. Or, and this, you know, is about you and Zen and this really beautiful scenery. It was just something I wanted to do. And I was like, wow, well, thanks. But I had, you know, no idea. I mean, I wouldn't even have asked you had I known. And she's like, no, don't worry about it. So I get a text yesterday. Tom, can we talk? Call her up. Got it. I know. She said what like assistant editor would do. And you go through all the raw footage and you organize it. Maybe like, I don't know, you put it in parts. Then the editor will come in and go, okay, here are all the parts, and start putting it together. So a lot of busy work, a lot of tedious work is done, but nowhere near being completed. So I go pick it up, And she's bummed. Like, she's done. And that was her biggest thing when I was training her. She's crazy hard on herself. And it was like, right away, I was like, this moment where I was like, okay, she just needs Tom chat. It's really what this is about. Like, I'll go get it to another editor. But, and I just went off for like, I don't know, 20 minutes. And I was like, Ernie, you've always been hard on yourself. You know, you just sit there, everyone's standing around you, pointing at you, going, you need to be better. And there's not one person doing that except you. I said, look, you got information. You can't edit anymore. Fantastic. I go, do you want to know the things I don't do anymore, I can't do anymore? And I go, and again, you are another person that is way more than me. And I'm the best I've ever been, which is showing you that if I can do it, you can do it. You know, you got this dope house. You live with your dope dude. You got a dope little dog. You know, you're super crazy talented. You know what I mean? Like, everything's possible. Like, this girl's light has shined ever since I've met her. But she's hard on herself. Like, hates to disappoint people. And I'm like, hey, that's going to happen. You know what I mean? You can be a wonderful person. Something doesn't work out and someone could get disappointed. But doesn't mean it's bad on you, your fault, you're a bad person. And I just kept going and just kept going. And I thought of another quote and another quote, another story. And it was just like, I don't know what even gets turned on. And then I drove home and I got home and I said, you know, because she said, I go, you know, Ernie, that might be the last time that you ever edit. Like, now there's, well, once in a while, I'll just do a little favor, something I wanted. Nope, done. And so maybe this wasn't that bad of an experience because you found that out. Now, if you just use it as information to move forward, and maybe that's why I'm here to kind of help you see that. And she started kind of realizing, she's like, well, this whole kind of moment has kind of helped me go, okay, that kind of chapter's closing and I need to move forward and it's kind of fine. And to me, it all made sense. Now, I would rather not have driven there and, you know, dropped it off and then had to drive there and pick it up again and then be left with, because now it's like, she tells me, she goes, no one that I knew who edits anymore. Like, it's that hard on your body, I'm guessing, I'm picking up. So she's like, Michael, who shot it, you know, kind of had a vision. You can tell by the footage. Have him do it if he's ever done it, or someone he knows. And I said, all right. I knew Michael said he didn't have time. But when he's got, okay, well, there's less to do actually now, and, you know, maybe whatever, I'll just ask. Or if you know somebody. He's like, can't. I don't have internet power. You know, I can do, like, low res, but not high res. You know, he just can't, like, do it. And he goes, I don't really know any people that edit. He goes, well, I got one guy that happens to be a mutual friend of ours that I, you know, he shot a movie that I was in a long, long time ago. So that's what that was. It was just kind of left unknown. But for me, I was like, well, this, Ernie, it was like my car going, okay, they can't fix it. They can't fix it. Bring it here. Bring it there. Okay, Ernie can edit it. Oh, now Ernie can't edit it. Okay, pick it up. Like, I'm just, you know, doing what I'm told. I'm just following instructions. I don't really have an opinion about it. Now, part of me was like, wow, I mean, I have almost 3 weeks, but, you know, now, I mean, so definitely some work has been done on it. But, you know, Michael said he'd holler at me last night. And I reached out to another client going, do you know any editors? And I haven't heard back. You know, he said, you know, what are you looking for? And asked me this and that. And I'm like, I mean, right now, I don't even have an editor. Like, I have this wonderful footage of my life and a beautiful day at Rincon with my best friend Zen. And it's on a hard drive. It's on my desk. And I'm like, how long is that going to sit there? And all of a sudden, it's like, now it's like, I got to hire. You know, I got to pay. It's like a big job. I got to come, you know, way out of pocket. I'm like, I wasn't. But I just thought, oh, shoot a video. You're going to use a different camera. I got to get someone to edit it. Okay, I got all that. I had no clue it was going to be this thing. Like, people like, oh, and I asked one friend, I'm like, no, dude, editing a 15-minute video, you're nuts. I don't have that kind of time. And I'm like, so again, I had no idea. I had no idea. It doesn't have to be 15 minutes. It's, you know, that's the max they said. But they also said you can shoot. I just read in this thing they sent me, you can submit five. Five videos up to 15 minutes each. So now I'm like, you know, I don't even care if mine's 5 minutes. I would just like it to be done to submit it. But then part of me is like, this morning, I just thought, it's one of those things again. I mean, there's nothing I can do. And if it's 6 months from now and it gets edited and it's wonderful, well, then it's mine. You know, and if I didn't get it done for, You know, because again, the getting someone to shoot it and then having the magical day where the weather and the tide and the wind and the stones and the balance and the sunset all work out perfectly. Like, I have that. So that's kind of the security thing for me. Like, I'm like, okay, I have that. And, you know, if it doesn't get done, what am I supposed to do? I can't edit it. I put out like four people, you know, hey, do you know anybody? So right now it's kind of the unknown. But it was funny when I got home, it was just like, okay, that was about Ernie. Ernie just needed a pep talk. You know, she needed a Tom chat. And I texted her that, and she says, yeah, I think that's what I needed. So I was like, okay, all is good. So I didn't mention the title until now, Phases. Because I wrote down something. I was just sitting here, and I was like, the cities that I've lived in. And I went, St. Cloud, Minneapolis, Las Vegas, Kitakyushu, Japan, Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, Orange, Hollywood. A lot of cities, a lot of different cities, a lot of big cities. And I've lived in Hollywood, LA, Beverly Hills, Las Vegas, and Japan. Like, that's kind of a statement. Like, I did good. I'm still kicking. But that made me feel or think about phases, the word, and I know exactly what I mean when I say phases. I look back and I go, you know, when I was in college, I mean, you know, I had an enduro motorcycle. There was no helmet law in Minnesota. I'd, you know, drive like 3 minutes to my college, 3 blocks to the grocery store I worked at. A block and a half behind that was the karate school, and across the street from that was the gym I lived at. So it's just, you know, boom, 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 back, forth, zip, go here, work out, kick. It's just like, the, you know, because karate was the best thing in the world, and I found it, you know, at 18. So 18 to 22 in college, I was just competing on the weekends. You know, I'd go to school, but I just work out, kick every day, and I had a girl and kicking buddy, and he had a girl, and, you know, we had karate parties, and it was just a great time, which I just kind of started, that was a phase. So then you fast forward, I'm in Vegas, I'm in the Excalibur show, I own a townhouse, and I'm engaged, great shape, long hair, and just killing it. Just like, you know, everything is wonderful in my life at that point. I had Rottweiler, you know, it was just, again, just a really great phase, a great time in my life. Then fast forward, I was married for the second time. I was living in Beverly Hills, stepdad, two chihuahuas, training a bunch, working a bunch, at different gyms, you know, pursuing acting. Things, you know, again, it was just a really, really good time. You know, this period. And like, again, it was just, I can just, okay, there were just highlights in that phase. So I'll call that a phase. So those are probably the three phases. And then it would be now. Like, especially, you know, last year where it was like, okay, I can pay my bills. You know, I didn't have to dip into, you know, my 401k, and it was just, you know, made me comfortable, and everybody went online, and it was just easier, and my beach didn't close, and gas went down, and traffic lightened, and I could just tell that I was just fortunate, and way more fortunate than a lot of people. So my gratitude that got me all the way to turning 55 last year and said it was like the best time of my life got better throughout the year, and it just ended with me just going, wow, that was the best, you know, time of, you know, year, best time to be me. And, you know, 2021 starts and it's better, and I have this moment of clarity, and it was just about my car, but I'm, I can do that now. I can just, yeah, don't do that anymore. Or, you know, I can just shorten the time I spending time and energy on something that I can't control. Because again, you're human, you're going to do things naturally, but if you can just stop it immediately, kick it out, go to gratitude, be thankful, I mean, that's the superpower thing. So this year just starts, and it's like, you know, again, I felt so great at the end of 2020, and I've never had like the bucket list, I've never had the big goals, I've never had the big, you know, anything. I said, especially now, it's like last year, like turning 55 was this big thing. I mean, you know, it's March 2nd, today as I record this, and you know, I'm be turning 56 and I'm not even thinking about it. And it's not because I'm funky about it, it's just because there's the greatest things happening in my life right now. You know, found art in a store, bucket list, you know, to be recognized doing my art at one point, kind of at a cool level, would be ridiculous. Boom, done, check. And then the documentary. Like, again, that's shot, that's done. That's a done thing. So it's like that, like, and again, when I, this all happened and I knew about it, it wasn't even the end of February yet. And as I was taking notes and getting ready to record this, I was like, oh yeah, I haven't mentioned that I'm going to be turning 56 soon. So I'm like, it's just not even on my mind because there's just all this other good stuff. But, and not a but in a bad way, I just kept, and this is like the crazy, because I didn't think about this. Oh, I got a little story to share, but I didn't think about this till after my first attempt to record this podcast. But I was driving, and I'm like, I remember on a podcast, because I wouldn't put out things going, you know, I want to meet a girl, or I want to make a bunch of money, or, you know, I just wasn't putting anything out there that I wanted or that I needed. And I wasn't doing it personally, but I definitely wasn't going to do it on the podcast. And last year was kind of all about, I need not, you know, I just don't need anything. But it was about, I want to say 2 years ago, on the podcast, I go, I'm just putting this out there. This is where I'd like my life to go, where I have just online clients. Meaning I could just live anywhere I wanted to. I remember saying that. Like, well, I'm not going to live in Hollywood forever. And, you know, you kind of want to stay connected in here for a certain reason, but then that kind of ended for me. And then it was like, well, I got clients. I physically train people here. I mean, that's my income. You know, 70, 80% of my income, I physically see these people. Boom, COVID happens. I don't see anybody now. All online. And I was like, oh, you know, this would be a time to move. Just kind of like, because you have all online clients. And I went, wow, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, that's what I was kind of waiting for. And I remember putting that out there and that happened. It's not like I got a bunch of online clients that made this possible. It's just the clients I had switched to online. And I'm like, well, why am I in Hollywood then? And it just, so a friend goes, hey, mentioned something about Santa Cruz. And I thought my friend, client Dan lived in Santa Cruz, but he lives in San Jose. And I started talking to him about him and Googled some stuff. And I was going to take a trip to Santa Cruz just to check it out, because there's parts of Northern California I haven't been in. And that was kind of this thing in the back of my mind. I always thought of ending up in Northern. It's like, quick pick, where do you got to live? It's like, oh, Northern California. Why say Idlewild, a place I like? It's like a little Tahoe. Tahoe's a little Big Sur. Favorite place in the world, Big Sur. So I'm like, let me just find out where all this is logistically. Well, San Jose and Santa Cruz, north of Big Sur. And I'm like, why would I live north of Big Sur? I'm like, what if I lived by Big Sur? And it was the weirdest thing to say out loud, because like we could. I mean, I don't want to live in the middle of nowhere. And obviously with online clients, I need internet access. So I know what I'm thinking about, but it's like, you know, instead of driving, you know, from Hollywood to Rincon an hour, why don't, you know, half an hour from Pfeiffer Beach in Big Sur? I'm like, you know, where everywhere I drive is that huge, I mean, bigger than Rincon. You know, it's got the high kind of bluffs, looks down over the beach. I mean, you head up north and that's it. Like Santa Cruz is north of that, but that happened to be just an area where it was kind of flat. I'm like, well, I don't want flat beach for good surfing and a bunch of sand. You know, I'm looking for stones and rock and just topography that I looked at. You know, I'm like, if I was just walking, like, oh, a Zen walk, but it was like, dude, this is like crazy. It's like walking through Hollywood, running through Hollywood. I mean, that's like a cool thing, but it's like, what if I just got up and it was more woods, more nature just around me? And then within a half an hour, I could be at a bunch of different hikes or mountains or the beach and these big beaches, and just got in my head. And I was like, I'm like, well, why? And then it just hit me like, okay, what don't I like about, it's like, well, I'm really comfortable with my place. I mean, my manager digs me. The landlord digs me. I mean, there's 20 apartments. The manager has a little Yorkie, and I have Zen. The only one that has a dog. Only one they're allowing to have a dog. And I have my own outdoor space. And it's basically Zen space. So Zen can hang out there by himself. You know, I've transformed this apartment into this Zen garden. My home, my studio, my gallery. You know, anywhere I go, I could just sit behind and follow Zen. He knows exactly where to walk, where everything is. Wherever it was, I'd be like, you know, let's go home. And he could find his way home. Like, he's so familiar. And we got the puppy park, and then we got the park by our house. And then I take him to the river and, you know, all these things. And I'm like, okay, so where's the bad? There's no fires here. There's no floods here. And I thought, well, I got to go somewhere. I know now. As I think deep down, I do think, and I've said this now, I do think my time in Hollywood is done. And that's like this, oh, I mean, it doesn't have to be scary and nervy, but there's that part of it. It's like, oh, you're, you know, going to the unknown. And I'm like, and I'm already kind of pumping the brakes on the thought process, because I was just like, you know, just kind of just chill. So I went on and I went, I'm just going to Google. So I started looking, and I happened to talk to Mosher, and he mentioned a couple of cities I'd never heard of. And I said, well, I'm looking between this area and this area. There's got to be some non-touristy, smaller towns that are, you know, closer to the coast, but because they're north and not big, they're not, like, expensive and obviously less than L.A. And he goes, boom, boom, names two places. And I was like, never even heard of those places. And I'm like, well, maybe that's perfect. So I Googled this one and went to places that for rent. I found this really nice place for kind of around what I'm paying. And then, like, part of me's like, well, you know, I would rather go there and pay less. But if I could afford this, I mean, it was like brand new. And I was like, well, schedule a tour. And I'm like, well, why don't I make that my birthday trip? So I'm going to Lompoc, Lompoc, California, for my birthday trip. I got a hotel for $70, which I thought was virtually impossible. Because I want to be looking around the entire time, go there, sleep. And it's dog friendly. You know, go there, sleep, get up, drive around. And if I need to, I switched the nights, you know, I made the reservation and then switched the nights the next day. So I think they're available. So if I want to stay two nights because I'm liking it, there's more to see, I want to go to this beach or whatever, then I'll just stay another night. It's so cool, like the time to do things, like, you know, move is now. It's like, well, the hotel, it's like no money down, cancel anytime, you know, you can cancel right up until you get here. And just like, again, just pleading because nobody's traveling, no one's going anywhere. And I don't think a lot of people are moving into places. I think a lot of people are moving out of places because they can't afford them anymore. Like, we've got, it was just five, but we have four vacancies in our place. And all around the neighborhood, it's just vacancy, vacancy, vacancy. You know, move-in specials, like, all over. So I thought, well, I have online clients. I don't have really a purpose in Hollywood. It's comfortable. I like it. Zen likes it. You know, I got some cool neighbors. But, like, you know, is there something I need to be in Hollywood for? No. All right, go somewhere else just to see how it feels. It's always kind of been in your head. Like, I don't want to go crazy northern, like, you know, way up north. I don't want that. I don't need cold, cold, cold. And I don't need snow. But if you go an hour north of L.A., it's a little cooler. You go a little coastal and it's cooler. So it's definitely on the cooler side, which if I had to pick between a little cooler or a little hotter, like going to, you know, San Diego or something, it's like, no way, I don't. And San Diego is beautiful and has great weather, but it's like, I just want to go somewhere that's just cooler. You know what I mean? I feel like you can dress warm, but when it's hot, you can't, you know, unless you can do. You know, I'll be outside when it's cold. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't bother me. But if it's hot, like, just, you know, crazy hot, you don't even want to be outside. You want to sit inside an AC. So, and it was just like, a seed was planted, like everything that I've experienced lately, like this seed, and I could just like try not to think of it. Well, all of a sudden, it's like, boom, got a hotel, signed up to this complex to, you know, get a tour of it. I'm like, and I could just go there and go, wow, this is a pretty cool vibe, a little town, you know, not on the sea. I mean, I could never afford that, but you know what I mean? Just kind of close and kind of naturey, not big, not all, you know, city-like. And then get this, you know, apartment that's like brand new or something, like just new or different. And then I just, I don't know, I just want to like walk around the neighborhood. Like I just, like I'm getting excited to see, because I know if I love it, I'm like, okay, that's why I'm going to go through the packing and the moving. Because it's going to be, I mean, I have less stuff than ever before, but I got a bunch of art stuff now. A bunch of frames and pictures and, you know, pieces, stuff like that. But I also, you know, emptied a lot of stuff to the store. So, again, there's just a lot of good. But I just stopped my thinking. And I'm like, there's not enough, like, bad in my life for me to go, you need to have to move. Like, two or three people I didn't like at this complex are gone. And everybody that came, like, is here is cool. And, again, there's, you know, four people that will probably move in. And maybe I don't like them or they don't like Zan. So, like I said, it just felt, and I shared this with a friend, I said, it just feels like I'm getting ready for that next phase. And it was like, well, if you could pick, you could end up. And it was kind of like, and I shared this a bit, but in October of 2020, I just kind of saw myself at 60, like what I looked like. And I've always thought of myself walking those beaches in, you know, Northern California, again, kind of around that Big Sur area. Because, like, when I Googled it, it was like, oh, that's the cliffs, that's the area. But then when you go a little bit further north, like, again, that San Jose, Santa Cruz, it's not. It's not as... You know, the beaches are just kind of more of just, they're beautiful. You know, if you want to go lay out in the sun, play volleyball or frisbee. But I just want to go where no one goes. I want to, you know, I want that kind of vibe where I just get up and I just go places where there's that many people. And then I'm hoping I just can continue creating my art. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what I'm thinking about. You know, keep training the online client and hopefully that grows a little bit. And keep doing the podcast and keep, you know, being Zen's best friend and go to like a new area and just start learning it. And that will be the final phase. Because it's like, you know, I went to like a couple beaches and they were smaller. Then I went to this beach that was staircase. And, you know, then I went to El Pescador. And then I finally got to Rincon. And, you know, Rincon, you can walk, you know, for a mile and a half. You know, and then you go up a little bit further and it's Carpinteria, and you go up a little bit further and it's Summerlin. So, I mean, there's all beach after beach after beach after beach. But in a way, there's like, it might sound weird, but there's part of me going like, I kind of did that, I think, now. But if I moved 2 hours north of here, I would be an hour north of Rincon. So if I had to go to Rincon, wanted to go to Rincon, I just, you know, I mean, it would just be driving south instead of north. But where I would be, just less people. And I think of, well, that's what I need to just drive to and walk around going, okay, you could live here and see how that feels. I mean, part of me is a little, you know, I've been here, you know, lived in Beverly Hills. Orange is a small town, but only lived there like for a year and a half, 2 years, and then came back, and it's been, you know, almost 8 now. Yeah, it's actually been 8 years. I'm 48, and I'll be 56. So, you know, it's kind of a long time. And again, I got through a lot of stuff, healed everything. Like, this is just okay. Zen Garden means so much to me. But it's also in my life going, yeah, okay, now you're done. Like, there's that feeling going, okay, you know, you did everything. You lived here, you got to this point, and then look, February, 3 bucket lists, boom, 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 done, done, done. Like, I don't got to stay here to do a documentary and stay in Hollywood and be around film people. Like, that's done, that's shot. It's like, well, I don't need to, you know, stay in Hollywood or where the city to get my stuff in a store. I got my stuff in a store, and that's actually a smaller town, and it's 45 it's, no it's an hour north of me of Hollywood, so it takes me an hour to get there. So if I go again, same thing, I'll stay at the store and I can still stay in touch with Tracy. So again, I just, it's like just like having a vision. Not I fell asleep and had a vision, and but just there was just this picture, and that, I don't know if I actually said it or not, but I just stopped cutting my hair and trimming my beard in October. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna Because at 60, I saw myself with long hair. And again, it wasn't like this. I fell asleep or I was daydreaming. It's just like I just had this thought of me being 60, and I just saw myself with long hair. And like I said, it was just this thing where I just started thinking about it, going, where would you end up? Where would you end up? I'm like, well, I've always told you, thought about it, shared with people. Favorite place, Big Sur. Why don't you live there? Well, you can't live there. I got to train people. Yeah, you can train everybody online now. And I thought that that's an option, that that's a possibility. And I'm like, well, I could live by. You know, it's like, it just tripped me out. Cause I'm like, we just, you know, it's like, I guess like in high school, I was like, I saw a karate class. I'm like, how did they know? How did they get in touch? How did they find that guy? Like, you know, it's not offered in high school. I've been in high school, you know, 3-4 years, and no one's ever sent the flyer, said, hey, there's, you know, it's like, how did they, you know, how'd you get in that thing? It's like, how'd you move there? What did you, but it's that same feeling when I moved to Vegas. People are like, oh, you just moved. I wish I could do that. And I moved to LA. I said, oh, you moved to California. I wish I could do that. And, you know, especially with the winter Minnesota had. Wow. Like it was I saw minus 40s like for like 2 weeks. I mean, if that isn't enough to make you move, then man, you are one badass person that's meant to be there. But I was like, hell no, I just wanted to be 60 60 to 70 all year round. And that's, I mean, pretty close to that in California, and it might definitely be cooler for this next phase. And what's so funny is I have all these clothes I gave away. Suits, jackets, pants, sweatpants, tops, sweatshirts, just everything down the line. And I got to this place where I had these three big winter jackets. One was this really expensive, kind of fatigue army looking jacket with this hood that has fur around the hood. And it feels like it weighs 30 pounds. But it was like, if you ever needed a warm jacket, and it looks really cool, and it was hella expensive. It was like $400. Now, I didn't pay for it. It was a gift. So it's always like, well, I'm not going to just give that away, throw that away. Then I have like this pilot jacket. You know, it's all that brown worn leather, and then the cuffs are that kind of white colored, and the collar is that kind of cream colored, whatever soft material. Always wanted one of those, got one of those. And it looks like it's never been worn. And then I have a black leather jacket. You know, like a motorcycle jacket that I got freshman, sophomore year of college. So we're talking 1985. So that jacket's like 30 some years old. And I'm like, well, that's cool. Just, and it's not, you know, again, not in bad shape at all. I mean, I barely wore it. So I was like, well, every time I was like, well, that jacket's really cool. I'm not going to give it away. That jacket's really, I'm not going to donate it. So I took the three a month ago to sell, two of them. And they're like, nope, don't want them. And I'm like, well, I'm just not going to give them to the store and donate. Because I just bummed on that store because I gave them all my clothes and they were supposed to give me some money and they never give me. Oh, it was dated or it was whatever. And I'm like, I dropped off some really, really cool vintage stuff. So I was hoping for some cash. So I didn't want to give them any more things. So I kept the three jackets. Now I'm thinking, oh, it's probably the coolest thing in the world because I'm always, I have shorts. That's all I ever wear. And when I walk around, I'm like bundled up. I'm like, oh, I'm cold. I was like, dude, put pants on. Like, that's the only thing. Like, you're kind of fine. And it's like, I don't even wear these jackets. But I'm like, well, if I went somewhere north of here, wouldn't it be cool if I had, and there it is. I didn't have to buy winter jackets. Like, that's all that, I might have to buy a couple more pair of sweatpants or something to wear pants. But I just thought it was funny. Like, if you go around my house, like, everything I've gotten rid of, reduced, eliminated, if I don't use it or wear it, except those three things. And it was just so funny as I thought of those three jackets, the moment I'm like, where am I going? So March 12th, which is my birthday, March 25th, but the event is the 27th, 28th, and I just, you know, since it's so close, I don't want to be leaving because I don't know exactly what's happening or what when stuff is due for that event. And it was just a weekend that I had free, so it became the 12th, maybe the 12th and the 13th. Maybe I'll go find out where I'm going to grow up. I always think, what am I going to do when I grow up? Where am I going to live forever? Where am I going to, and the word sounds weird, but like retire. But like, where would you go to live, like, you know, rest of your life? And I was like, wow, I mean, I think it's just dope that I can actually pick. You know, I literally right now could be like, because a client one day, this is maybe what got me started thinking about it. But a client sends me the thing, like the top 60 cities to live. I go, why'd you send me that? He goes, dude, he goes, you could live anywhere. He goes, you know, some of these houses, you know, these places are like nuts. And I looked and it's like, yeah, I get it, but I don't want to live there. I don't want to live in West Virginia. I don't want to live in Texas. I mean, four of the cities were in Texas. And I just thought about Texas this last month. You know, the electric thing is private and it failed and they went without water and then they charged everybody a ton of money and so many people moved there. They built so much that there's so much flooding because there's so much concrete. And it's like, I would never want to live in Texas. So it's like weird to me how like it picked top 60 places to live. You know, it'd be like number of coffee shops and the access to internet and the median price of a home and median income of people that work there. It was just all that stuff on there. I'm like, not one place I wanted to live. And when I think about it, it's like, yeah, you just got to find your thing. And it's like, you know, I'm really comfortable being alone with Zen. I'm like, I kind of like that. I go to the beach and I hope no one's there. You know, I'm like, I talk to people online. Like, I conversate with people. You know what I mean? So it's not like, oh, I haven't talked to anybody in 4 months. You know, it's not that at all. I just think with the internet, it's allowed you to have contacts, to be social. But if you want to live kind of by yourself, kind of by the woods, and go to the beach with your dog by yourself, you totally do that. You don't have to live out in the middle of, you know, like off the grid kind of thing. Like, I definitely don't want that. So send me good thoughts. Send me good positive vibes that I find Zen in my new forever home. I think that'd be dope. And this is the last thing I was going to share, because it kind of turned out cool. But I had mentioned that there's a story I was going to share at the end. I sat down, recorded this entire podcast, teared up when I got to the dad thing, like really struggled getting through that part. And I was just about done, and I looked forward just to see how much time, because I'm like, oh, I think I'm at almost an hour. Didn't press record. It was, I thought, the most disheartening thing that's probably possible right now in my life is that, because it was like, oh, you know, I mean, I write down, I organize, I get it to flow, I start it, and I never edit, I never listen. I'm like, it's done, because once I'm done recording, I don't want to think about it. And I looked at my notes and I looked at my sticky notes and I'm like, I got to keep all that. I got to go over it all again. I got to do it again. I'm like, it's just going to be, it won't be authentic because I've already said it before. And it was just a funny thing, but I told Hardwick yesterday. He goes, some are just for you. And I just laughed and I go, well, that's what it was. That one was for me. This one turned out wonderful. Very happy with it. And this one was definitely for you. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. I hope 2021 is going well for you. Right, you know, I said it online. If you want to be part of Team Dieters online, holler, message me, proupodcast@gmail.com or any way to message me on social media. I'm just, you know, that's going to be my life, training people online, and I'm going to go find my forever home. And just remember, you are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your Pro-U moment. Stoked you're here as always. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, eyes closed, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine, would draw the inhale through the nose, allow the exhale out the mouth. We're going to slow them both down, elongate them both, stay focused on both. To do that, we'll connect our mind and body. That will keep us present. And that will give us peace. Anything else enters the space between your ears kindly, calmly. Ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Well done. And just like that, a relatively little thing done, hopefully, consistently. And you feel the fruits of that labor immediately. You like the calm, you like the quiet, you felt a bit in control, peaceful. Tranquil. That is a fantastic goal to chase, to pursue. That feeling. And you just did it, so you know you can. just got to deem yourself worthy of doing it more and more. I like where my life is. Therefore, it doesn't really matter how I got here. What's important is that I got here. That's the point I'm making. You saw a video of you 2 years, and you could just tell by watching the video, you were just great. Would it matter at all how you got there? No, it would not. Keep that in mind as you pave your pro-you path, making some choices that aren't familiar, aren't easy, aren't comfortable, but you are so very, very worth it. That's the path that I hope you take. The path that you stay on. Peace and God bless.